Let's take our Bibles and look together in Acts chapter 11, and verses 19 to 21 is going to be my text. The title of our study today is How Sinners Believe on the Lord Jesus. How is it that sinners believe on the Lord Jesus? Here in Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 19, it says, Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only.
And
some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus.
Kuma panali ena mwaiyo, amuna kukupro, ndi kukurene. Amenewo, nene adafika ku Antiochia, analankula ndi Ahelene, ndi kulalikila utenga wabwino wa Ambuye Yesu.
And verse 21 says, And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now, the popular message today is to simply go out and preach, and then it's up to men to believe or not. That's the popular message. But when we study the scriptures, we find that it's not just a matter of preaching, but who we preach. If you notice in verse 19, it's very specific. They went preaching the word. And in verse 20, at the end, it says, They spake unto the Grecians, again, preaching the Lord Jesus. There is a lot of preaching going on today that is not of God. You say, well, how can you discern what's of God and what isn't? The answer is simple. Any that do not preach the word are not sent of God. And preaching the word is defined here in our text as preaching the Lord Jesus.
You know,
In other words, the preaching of the word is the preaching of the Lord Jesus. And any that do not preach the Lord Jesus do not preach the word. To preach the Lord Jesus is to preach him according to the word. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the gospel that they have received to the saving of their souls is how that Christ died for our sins, but it says according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4.
Kumulalikira Yesu Kristu ndiko kulalikira mawu. Kodi utengenere wonse pamene anthu amalalikira pamene Yesu Kristu si mawu onse. Monga Paulo mtumwi adalankhula ku 1 Korinto 15 ndime yake ya 3 ndiye china iyo. Imene akuti pakuti ndimapereka kwa inu poyamba chimenenso ndidalalikira kuti Kristu anafera zoipa zathu monga mwa malembo. Ndikuti anayikidwa ndikuuka ndikuti anaukitsidwa tsiku lachitatu monga mwa malembo.
The Lord caused Isaiah to declare in his day that unless those that preach according to the lines and precepts of this word, that they have no light in them. We must beware today because there is another Jesus, there is another gospel, there's another spirit that is being preached that is not according to this word, the record that God has given of his son. And there are many today that profess to be Christians, and yet the Jesus on whom they believe is one that is not in accord with this word. He's in accord with how men have preached him, but not according to this word. You can mark it down that any such profession is false. If God is going to bless, it's going to be according to this word, and it's going to be according to the revelation that he has given of his son. But not only is there much error in the preaching of the word and the preaching of the Lord Jesus, but there is much error in the believing. One leads to another. You cannot get to the truth through error. So the question is, how is it that sinners believe on the Lord Jesus? Today, the popular message says, well, you just believe. It's up to you. God's done all he can do, now the rest is up to you. That's the popular message being preached. But that, again, is not according to the word.
Yeah, no. Popeza gulu la anthu likulalikira kuti inyo mungo kukhulupirira zili kwa inyo kwa chisango ndikukhulupirira zichitika. Koma fanenikira kudziwira kuti ndi njira yanji imene uthenga wabwino umalalikidwira ndipo ochimwa amaukhulupirira bwanji kuti audziwe kuti uthenga auzindikire kuti uthenga wachokera kwa Mulungu monga mwakufuna kwa Mulungu.
Here in verse 21, in one verse, it tells us how it is that sinners are caused to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, the hand of the Lord was with them, and therefore a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. The scripture does not make believing to be a simple thing, just as so many preach today. Well, it's just so simple. All you have to do is believe. No, it is impossible for a dead sinner, and that's the problem. They're dead in their sin and have no understanding, darkened in their mind. It's impossible for a sinner to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ apart from God by His Spirit giving them that faith.
Simunga kumla wanchu ni malalikira ni mangoni ungo kukubilira iweo, ya kukubilira. Kwa mtu anina kukubilira mtu wa kukubilira mtu wa kufa, mchimo, amele kukubilira ni kumza mau, munipe mweyeo. Njena ama kukegeza matu nunga tumene wo. Pamene, mtu kwa kukubilira mawa mungu, zima lendera mungu wadunize mzimu wake wa kukubilira, mzimu wa kutandize kukubilira mau. Kwa mangani sa kutandize, sunga ate kukubilira. Kwa jifuwa kukubilira mungu.
Any believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He knows those that are His, and therefore He draws to Himself those for whom He paid the debt. The rest He leaves to themselves, and they will die in unbelief.
Ndi choringa chake kuri kupereke ulemu ndi matamando kwa mwana wake Yesu Kristo. Kwa mkutu wachimwa ya kulupirire, zima nangira Mulungu wa mkoke, akutandize, amupase kukulupirire kujabula kulupirire na kuma wa Mulungu. Kwa mkani Mulungu sa kutandiza, sunga ate, umafa, utafira mwachimwa wa kuma mwemo, utafaosa kulupirire. Kwa mkutu wa kutandiza, kukulupirire kuma chitika. Kwa mkutu,
Now what we have here is the establishing of the church at Antioch. If you look this up on a map, Antioch is many, many miles away from Jerusalem, where it all began. If you look on the map, this city of Antioch actually still exists today. It's in what's known as the country of Turkey today, just about 12 miles northwest of the Syrian border, where a lot of the war is going on today that you hear about in the news.
Now
what is interesting about Antioch is that It is a city that was founded about 300 years before Christ by one of Alexander the Great's generals. He was a Greek ruler, and one of his generals founded this city 300 years previously. I'm sure when the general founded this city, he did not found it thinking that one day there would be a gospel church here. But the Lord purposed that the city be founded and that there would be over time some of his elect that would be brought into this city to make their living. And now the gospel brought to them the preaching of the Lord Jesus, and as a result, them believing on the Lord Jesus. Now, many times we think, well, if the Lord is going to raise up a church, it's going to be in some small, out-of-the-way place. Actually, Antioch grew into the third largest city of the Roman Empire during this time in which these apostles were going about preaching. The third largest city. Now, here's again a truth that many times the Lord will bless a city, prosper a city for the elect's sake. Do you realize if a city is not prosperous, people won't move there? They move out. And here was one the Lord made prosperous, was drawing in people who at the time when they were going into that city to market and to do their commerce and to build a business and make a living, they were not thinking of being the Lord's. And yet, it was there that the Lord brought his gospel to them. I'm sure that those that founded the city of Lilongwe there in Malawi, when they first started building it, and it has grown now into the capital city, They weren't thinking they were doing this for a gospel church that the Lord would raise up one day, but the Lord was working all the while. So the Lord built the city, even though men take credit to themselves. It was the Lord prospering them to build the city, but then to bring the gospel to that city in order to raise up a people to his name. And amazingly, whether the world knows Lilongwe or not for its being the capital of Malawi, I will tell you, there are many people in the world today that know Lilongwe, Malawi, because of the gospel being preached there. They're following online. They're curious. They're hearing of the faith that the Lord has given to some of you there. And they rejoice, you see, because of God's work among you. I dare say that the founder of Facebook, when he started it, wasn't thinking of it being a means of the gospel being communicated throughout the world. But the Lord purposed it that today we be using this means, even now, live, for the gospel to be preached throughout the world. Just like these here were scattered abroad, it says in verse 19 of Acts 11, because of persecution. There are many of the Lord's sheep scattered abroad throughout the world, and yet the Lord is using means such as this, created and made by men who don't even know the Lord, and yet the Lord is sovereign to cause his sheep to hear. Even Brother Willie, in such a remote place where he is, yet known throughout the world. I had a dear sister write me this week and tell me she was communicating with Brother Willie and his family, and they were enjoying such sweet fellowship in the Lord. All of these means the Lord purposes. So how is it that sinners believe on the Lord Jesus? That's the topic that we have, the subject for our text today. How is it that sinners believe on the Lord Jesus? And the first answer to that question is simply that the Lord raises up and sends forth preachers of the gospel. If any are to believe on the Lord Jesus, it's going to be through the preaching of the gospel. There is a group of people that say, well, since God elected those that should be saved and ordained them to salvation, then they're saved. They'll be saved whether they ever hear the gospel or not. That's what they preach. Now here's where what we preach must be in line with what the Word declares. And when we read the Word, we don't find any instance where anybody who was one of God's elect, when they died, suddenly woke up and found out that they were one of God's elect in heaven. No. If they're elect of God, then God sees to it that the gospel is brought to them. The truth is that there were elect sinners there in Antioch, but it was necessary then that the preachers of Christ, the Lord Jesus, be brought to them that they might hear. When it says there in verse 19 that they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, notice, traveled, and notice the words, as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. That was why they were displaced. They went forth preaching the word.
Mm-hmm.
I've not looked on a map to see exactly the distance between Jerusalem and Antioch, but it's a long ways. And along the way, these other places like Phoenix and Cyprus, which were nearer, yet in their traveling, the Lord was directing every step. In fact, in verse 19 of Acts 11, when it says, "Now they which were scattered abroad," that word "scattered" is a term of agriculture. It relates to seed being broadcast, taking a hand and throwing it out into a field and sowing it. That's what God did in placing these people around these different places in the world, that it might in His time bring forth fruit unto the glory of Christ. Just like seed that's cast into a field, God determines exactly where each seed falls and where it will be placed and sown. God determines that. Now here again is the sovereign hand of God, because in verse 19 it says they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Well, Stephen was killed. And you stop and think, well, this persecution began all the way back in Acts 8. Who was it that was causing the persecution other than Saul of Tarsus? And so the Lord used Saul initially to scatter the seed, if you will, and then in His sovereign grace turned around and converts the very one that He used to start the persecution in the first place. Such is a sovereign God. We see that in Acts 8, 1 to 3, that Saul was consenting unto his death, the death of Stephen. That's who's mentioned here in Acts 11, 19. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad, same word used, as in Acts 11, 19, like seed to be sown throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison.
Ndipo anabalalitsidwa onse amene amudea amaikwalidea tisomaraya koma osanatumwi ayi ndipo anabwita Stefano anthu opembedza namlira maliro akulu ndipo Saulo anakapasula mpingo nalowa mnyumba mnyumba nako kamo amuna ndi akazi nawayika mndende ndi Saulo yo Mungu anachita kumtuma kuti azika pa wanthu
So what we see here is that which was intended for the hurt of the church, actually, God purposed for its good. Sometimes it's persecution, sometimes it's famine. That Ruth would never have been brought into the Commonwealth of Israel had it not been for a famine in Bethlehem, where now Naomi and her family moved into Moab, but for the purpose of bringing Ruth out. The Lord purposed it for her good. The story of Joseph and his brothers, they persecuted him. That's what brought him to Egypt. But then God sent a famine, which then drew his brethren down there. And through Joseph already being in Egypt, he was their deliverer. What they meant for evil, God purposed for good.
Today
we're seeing many being displaced because of war and refugees crossing from one place to another. Some live, some die. But I can't help believe but what Some of these that are being displaced, wherever they settle into a new place, if they're God's elect, then God is using all of this to bring them to a place where he will then cause them to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe. So while on the other one hand we hold true to this, that God is the one that chooses those that he purposed to save and save them in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet we also hold the truth that in time the Lord is going to send them the gospel and cause them to hear of this Savior and this Christ and believe. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 17 and 18, this is exactly why Paul, who initially persecuted the church, and yet the Lord converted him and he went forth now to preach Christ. He says here in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me. You see, this is being sent of Christ. Not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he accomplished, for whom he died, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the power of God.
Kristu sana nilifuma ine kubatiza. Kurendoza Paulo alesha kukumidwa. Sana nilifuma ine kubatiza, kuma kulaliki na uchenga wabugino. Sibu zelu ya anfu ai, kuma kuti mtanda wa Kristu ungaesebe opanda pache. Fakuni mau amtanda, atamari mau amtanda, kurendoza fakuni infayambi ya Yesu Kristu, chimene Yesu Kristu atawelela, aminada kwele kwa fela, nindani, aminada kwele kwa fela, amene wawo, fakuti mau antanda, ali ndichuti ndicho pusa kwa iwa kutaika, kwa makwa ife, amene kili kukurumu tsinwa, ali mpampu, uretazo, amene mwaziwa Yesu Kristu, uda keteru ya payi wawo, amene Yesu Kristu, adawa fela ni mwazi wake, amene wawo, ali mpampu, ya Mulungu.
I'll tell you, the congregations where the gospel is preached in truth today are not very large by the world standards. But let us beware of being jealous of those that attend other places of worship where the gospel is not being preached. There's nothing to be jealous about them. They're to be pitied. But thank God for the ones he does send us and for whom we preach. Because in them, it must be then that there are those that are chosen of God for whom Christ paid the debt. And he will cause them to hear. Thank God.
Amen. Mpingo umene umalalikira uthenga wabwino weniweni wa Yesu Kristu wopachikidwa umene umalalikira za kusankha kwa Mulungu sudzuluka. Anthu akamakhala wochepa. Now, if we are to worship, I'm going to prove it out. Check out below. Musta na kumudwe, mukamona malowe na pali shikuruja wa mtichita mtazana. Chifuwa konse, kumina malalikira nkani za wazu, niboza, alfazete kila kutana. Chifuwa shumuli zeni zeni. Kwa mkumene kuli zeni zeni zo, alfazete kila. Now, if we are to worship, I'm going to kareta zeni yao, muwalele kura zishu lukada, chifuwa kumina utenga wabi. Inuwe mwale 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 mwale. Chivile mwene kia kushitano, nikumbwa ya mika mwene ambile mwene mengeseke, mwene maswanga ya tseku kwa mwene kumbina utengawo. Pati, iku.
Now, in Romans chapter 10, and verses 14, down to verse 21, we see this. We're looking at this question as how is it that sinners believe on the Lord Jesus? We know that they must be chosen of God, but how will we know those that are chosen of God? Well, he sends them the gospel. If we're the Lord's today, that's the only way we know we're the Lord's, is that he sent us the gospel. We weren't looking for it, but he sent it.
Mene Mulungu amapangira ochipa kuti akhulupirire uthenga wabwino. Apa akuonetse kuti uthenga wabwino umapita kwa yawo amene Khristu adawasankhawo ndipo amatumiza anthu kuti akalalikira uthengawo kuti akhulupirire njira yake imakhala yomweyo basi.
Now if we look at Romans 10:13, this is a popular verse today. We hear many preachers using this verse to call on people to believe. They say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They make it a condition.
Wow.
But read on, because it's not saying that just anybody can call on the name of the Lord. It says in verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Oh. Ndipo iwo adzaita na branch pa iye amene sada kukhulupirira.
You say, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Kumanso, ali ndipuso lina. Akufuna ndipuso lina wejaye. Ano puso lina wejaye. Ndipo adzakhulupirira kuti iwo amene sada kukhulupirira.
And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's not talking about any preacher. That's talking about one carrying and bearing the message of Christ and him crucified in truth according to the word. How shall they believe unless they've heard that message?
The
answer is they won't. There's none who believe who have not heard this message of the gospel of Christ and how God justifies sinners in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Those out there preaching man's supposed free will and just believe and all be well, any that believe that message have still not heard.
Now,
Now you can continue to read on down through there. How shall they preach except they be sent? The Lord is not just sending out preachers on what I call fool's errands. They go and they find it's not what they expected. No, wherever the Lord has his sheep, he sends the gospel in his time.
Amen.
That's why it says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, true peace. How God can be reconciled with the sinner, and the sinner reconciled with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus, and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, I would dare say that for most of us, the least beautiful part of our bodies are our feet. They get worn out. They get cracked. They get dusty. They get stinky. They get smelly. But you know what? When it comes to those feet of those that preach the gospel, the scripture says, what beautiful feet. Because it's the Lord that has carried this gospel through these that he has raised up, that others might be able to hear of Christ and believe. But our time's getting away. Come back here to Acts chapter 11 and notice a second answer, how sinners believe on the Lord Jesus. We've been looking here at the first this entire time, how the Lord raises up and sends forth preachers of the gospel. The second point I would point out here is, as is obvious from Acts 11 and verse 19, that the Lord uses even the wrath of man, that is persecution, to accomplish his purpose and will. Nothing's going to keep those from hearing and believing that the Lord has purposed to hear and believe. The death of Stephen was purposed by man to hinder people from continuing to proclaim and preach this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it had just the opposite effect because of how God purposed that it should be used.
Utenga wa mwino sufidiri ya kwa liki doka na ukubiye. Kwa sajiwa, kuliki mrungu mwini, amene wa umitsa midima ya wandu, kuna te Stefano, kuli Stefano te akapedwa, utenga, ujine mwina.
These men in that day purposed it in order to hold back these that the Lord was delivering. And yet the Lord uses it to cause them to press forward in that work. And the Lord prospered their hands and their journey and their message everywhere they went. This is what our Lord declared to Peter and the other disciples there in Matthew 16. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There are none that the gates of hell can keep the Lord from delivering, for whom he paid their sin debt. So this is how sinners believe on the Lord Jesus. It's by the sovereign hand of the Lord God. Nothing hindering. See, this is so much different than what we're hearing preached today popularly, is that if you don't let God do the saving, then he can't save you. Where on earth is that ever found in Scripture? The truth is that there are none willing and none would, except that God wills and God does. You see, again, the glory belongs unto God. Nothing withstanding. He's not up there waiting for you to give him permission to save you. No, he's sending forth his preachers, and he's causing his word to be brought home to sinners' hearts for whom he purposed to save, and Christ paid the debt.
Mm-hmm. akakukhulupirire kuthenga uchi kodi mulungu azenda kufuna zopa akukhulupirire ndikwazi ndikugwetsa kuthenga wabwino palibe chinthu chilichonse chimene mulungu amakhalaka pansi kusowa wina zitepo amthandizire amachita yekha mwakufuna kwake pa nthawi yake mwacholinga chake mudongosolo lake monga mmeneye adziwira kuti chipite kwa amene akufuna.
You see in Psalm 76 and verses 9 and 10, that's what we find declared even in the Old Testament. It says in Psalm 76 and verse 9, when God arose to judgment, but what judgment? It says to save all the meek of the earth. When did God arise in judgment to save the meek of the earth? Well, the meek are his elect. He rose in judgment to save them in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Kuti apumutse ofatsa onse pa dziko lapansi. Akamati ofatsa urandaza kuti osankhidwa. Ndiye Mulungu akadzuka. Cholinga chake amafuna aweruze. Kuweruza kwake amafuna kuti apumutse kudzera mu mwana wake Yesu Khristu onse osankhidwa. Kudzera mu ifa ya mwana wake.
At the cross there was a judgment rendered whereby God was satisfied on behalf of the meek. That's not the proud and the self-righteous. That's talking about those that have nothing. God's elect that he purposes to save, a judgment was rendered to save them.
Nchifaka muka maona muinfaya mbiya wa Yesu Kristu pa mtanda. Ida alintawi ya chiwe uzo. Muntu wafata adawe nusidwa pa mtanda. Ndiyo lindakana di chiwe uzo. Shimene ama muwe uzana jo pa mtanda uja. Chitandizile wa sankino wansa aminari kutikwa la pansi. Kuti apurumutsi hile. Kwa kuti zimene zimechitika ndi Yesu pa mtanda ndi zimene zitapulumutsa anthu pa dziko lapansi. Ndiye Mulungu akadziwa kuti akuweruza akupha mwana wake amapulumutsa anthu osankhidwa pa dziko lapansi.
Now in your Bible, wherever you see that word Sila, that just simply means it was a musical pause because all of these songs were sung. So it was a musical pause for reflection. So it's another way of just saying pause and reflect. Pause and consider.
Come again to that point.
Does your Bible have the word Selah? S-E-L-A-H?
No, it doesn't. Only in English.
Okay. Well, that's okay because it's not supposed to be necessarily read or translated. It's a musical pause. Like you have in music, when you're listening and suddenly there's a pause, that is why it's put there. So it's just to say that we're to pause and consider what we've just heard.
Ndi mawa amene amapezeka amakondozeka mu nyimbo. Wanthu opekapeka nyimbo. Pamene pali fundo yayikulu yotantha kuti ayime alingalirepo amvetsere amayepapo mawoti Sela.
Now here's the part I want us to see, that nothing can withstand or withhold God's hand from doing what he's purposed, because verse 10 says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. And the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. God's going to use even man's wrath to glorify his name, and the rest he restrains.
Chotalira chakuzazaku mudzachire. Kurendoza kuti onse anthu ankhaza achipongwe oipa amena makuchitira minuyo. Mulungu anogitsa chipa amene wachawo kuti akachita zimene zoso mosema alemekezepo mu Mulungu.
Now let me ask you, in history, where was the wrath of man most manifest in time? Wasn't that at the cross when they crucified the Son of God? They did what they did out of hatred for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When they put him to death, they thought they were done with him. Just like with Stephen, when they had killed him, they thought this is it. And yet the Lord used it to scatter the church and cause that seed to grow even more than anybody could have ever imagined. But here, concerning the Lord Jesus, it says in verse 10, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. They did what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ out of hatred and despising him, and yet the Lord used that to deliver up the Lamb of God and cause him to be slain and that blood shed on behalf of that people that he purposed to save, that justice might be satisfied. That says the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Men continue to have that same rebellion in their hearts. We had it until it pleased God to reveal Christ in us. We were of their number. And yet the Lord sovereignly rules and overrules to accomplish his purpose. Just stop and consider how it is that the Lord brought home to your heart the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You weren't looking. In fact, you were quite content, and I was, in our religion. And when we first heard this message, our spirits were contrary to anything that would give God the glory. And yet, because we were his, he didn't leave us alone. That in his time, he brought us to bow and turn that wrath to his glory, you see.
Tango suga ni niyo kodinga ni mwambe mwaima muone mene murungu ada bumbusira uchenga uze wapu ino kwa inu yo kubi mwerea chifuwa musa na uzimbikina uchenga uhu inyo kuda aliwa vuta ama ngarangara oi panda akari amene mwishipembe tuchatu jinesi ya ekstensi chose kwa mwishipembe kufuna kwa murungu kuna bumbusira wana wake mwaipe kuti tileke zimene zozo kwa chifuwa chocho zozo zimene zimene
Now, Now our time's about gone, but coming back to our text in Acts 11, there's one other point that the Lord is directing me to make on how sinners believe on the Lord Jesus. And it's all right here in the text that the Lord gives eyes to see, but you can see it in Acts 11 and verse 21. The hand of the Lord was with them. Now, these were not the apostles going around preaching. These were scattered believers, because we read in Acts 8:1, the apostles were still in Jerusalem. In fact, we're going to see them coming from Jerusalem later, having heard of God's work. So this is the church scattered. These are ones that the Lord had already caused to believe. And it says there, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. That order is important. You see, what we're seeing here is that those that believe on the Lord Jesus, it's the Lord that makes that faith effectual. It's the Lord giving that faith to believe. You see, that's my comfort as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in preaching, it's not up to me to persuade men, nor am I to try to make them think that somehow their will determines their salvation. No. We're to declare and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And those for whom he has paid the debt, he will cause to believe on him in the day of his power. Here's a key verse in the Old Testament again in Psalm 110 and verse 3. It says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. When will a sinner be willing to come to Christ? It'll be in the day of the power of God's grace, giving them that faith to believe. That's it. Otherwise, they'll stay in their darkness and deadness until that time.
Psalm 110:3.
Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power.
Mau amena disopolele, umalizira uthengo bethu kulankulawo, akupezela mukula masalimo, 110, yimaka isatuyo. Imena kuti anthu anu, adzadzipereka eni ache sikula chamuna chanu. Moira, mogome tsepa, mokadwila, maranda kusha. Mulinawo mame au kwana wanu. Ndakamanda kuti sikula chamuna chanu. Akanthaza kuti ndi tsiku la mphamvu ya Mulungu mwafuna kwa Mulungu mulongosolo lake maMulungu ajao adzavumbuluka kwa anthu ndi mphamvu ya Mulungu uyo kwa nthawi ya Mulungu uyo adzadzilongitsa anthu akewo abwere kwa Mulungu ndi kukhulupirira uthenga wabwino kwa ifeyo sitingathe.
There's much more that we could say, but we're going to stop there for today. But I pray the Lord will make this message effectual to our hearts. He will if we're one of those that He's purposed to save and has saved by the blood of His Son. I'll turn it back to you.